What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 89. Today, we're going to be talking about the pill, or just hormonal birth control, and all the stuff that comes along with that. I know it might be weird having two guys talk about the pill, but this stuff affects everybody, and me and Tom both have personal experiences with it, with obviously like our spouses and all that type of stuff, so we wanted to spread some information on that. But first, let's do a quick check-in. So, Tom, how's everything been?
Same old, same old. I know we took a little bit of a break, but still not much has changed. I guess the only thing that's new in my life is we just bought some paddle boards, and we've just been taking those out on the local lake here. Today's going to be our first day taking our dogs out on the water with them, so we're going to see how they do. So that should be a little interesting.
That's pretty cool.
They're wiener dogs, so they're not exactly built for swimming, and they kind of hate water. So, yeah, we'll see how they do on this paddleboard.
Is it fun, at least?
Yeah, it's fun. It's nice and peaceful. It's not like a real intense workout, but it's like an active form of leisure, I guess. You know, you're just out there relaxing, but still getting a little decent workout in.
Yeah.
It's not that, you know, you got to kind of stabilize, so you're activating your core. You know, you have to use your upper body to move yourself around, so you're getting a decent workout in.
Okay, no, that's cool.
Yeah, so that's a bit with me. What's new with you?
Not much, man. You know, just still living this quarantine life and honestly getting a little bored of it, but like for once, everybody is living this quarantine life, you know what I'm saying? It's not just me, so it sounds like, or it feels like things are winding down, you know, businesses are starting to open up again and people are starting to be a little less freaked out about stuff, and which is good because I was never freaked out about anything, but I just can't wait for things to get back to normal and hopefully it happens soon, you know?
Yeah, I would like to think so, but honestly, I have no idea. None of this has been like close to what I would imagine. Like this has all just been so unreal. It's hard to really predict anything right now.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I mean, just to get into why we want to do one on the pill, it's because obviously this affects a lot of people. Half the population is women, and this is like pretty much the most overprescribed drug out there. Like if you just didn't know, it's like every girl has some story of being on the pill or being on some sort of birth control, and so we know this is going to affect a lot of people. So that's why we wanted to talk about it. And we're all about, you know, holistic healing, food as medicine, that type of stuff. And a lot of these prescriptions really just hide symptoms, mask symptoms. They don't really treat things. So we feel like, you know, this is a big topic we wanted to talk on. And you have a little experience with it, right? You know, just with the women in your life too, you know?
Yeah, not personally, but yeah, I know a lot of women that have been affected by the pill. Mm-hmm. So before we kind of get into like what the pill does to the body, let's kind of just talk about pregnancy in general, or just like a normal woman's cycle that lasts about 28 days. Sometimes, you know, it could be 32 or 26, somewhere around there. If you get outside of that 26 to 32 day range, that's when it starts becoming a little irregular. So you want to stay within that. And what the pill does is it just stops the woman from producing eggs. So if there's no eggs, there's no egg that can get fertilized, no pregnancy can occur. But one thing most doctors won't tell you before they prescribe you the pill is that a woman's only fertile had a maximum of 7 days out of that 28-day cycle. So you can only get pregnant during that 1 week. Sperm can live somewhere between 5 and 6 days in the woman body, and then the egg is only around for 1 day. So 6 plus 1, you come up with 7. And that's like best case scenario. Like, you know, so most likely you are pretty much, it's physically impossible for you to get pregnant when the woman's not ovulating and the 5 to 6 days before. So you're taking a pill for 25% of the time. It's a little overprescribed just in the form of birth control. But when you talk about half the women are taking the pill for other reasons, stuff like acne, mood swings, other hormonal imbalances, it's completely overprescribed. And women are not explained to explain like all these issues that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the biggest side effects with the pill is that if you are taking it for one of these hormonal issues, like a lot of women take it for acne, it's only going to temporarily mask the symptoms. So maybe while you're on the pill, you stop having acne. But what you're not doing is you're not addressing that root problem. So whenever you go off the pill, that acne is going to come back, and most likely it's going to come back worse than before because you never dealt with the underlying issue, what was causing that acne. So that's one thing. And then the pill itself has a ton of issues, and we're going to get into the details about how it affects all these different organ systems in the body. But there are so many different side effects with it.
Yeah. And then, but I was going to say, that's a problem really with, I don't know if it's just medicine today or society today, I'm not sure, but if somebody can take a pill and it cures their symptoms, or like say acne, you know, which is a big one, especially if you're a teenager growing up, you want to get that under control, but this pill doesn't actually fix the root problem. And that's what we really want to focus on. You really want to focus on what's causing the root problem, not just masking the symptoms. Because like Tom said, once you stop taking the pill, all that's going to come back. All that damage that was there is still there. It's just being covered. It's like when a football player gets injured and they get like a cortisone shot prior to the game, or a Toradol shot prior to the game, and masks their pain. That injury is still there. They're still causing damage. They just don't feel the pain. It's the same thing. But it's just in today's world, like, we don't want to put in the work to solve the problem. We just want to mask the symptoms, you know?
Yeah, and it's a real shame because a lot of this, a lot of the times it gets prescribed at a woman, like when she's, you know, in her teenage years, she's still pretty young. And then it just kind of reinforces the idea that all your problems can be solved with a pill. And that's not the case. Like, drugs do have their place every now and then, but that shouldn't be your go-to source. So instead of you learning to clear up your diet to fix that acne, you just start popping a pill and hope it goes away. And then it's really just a gateway drug, because after you start popping that pill, you have all these other side effects. And then now you're on a whole bunch of different pills trying to deal with all the side effects.
And now you're a customer for life for the pharmaceutical companies, you know?
Yeah, it's a real shame. And this starts at such an early age in the most part. All the side effects you get from the pill. And then after you go off the pill, you have all these side effects that you're still dealing with. If it's from the pill itself, because the side effects of the pill don't just stop once you stop taking the pill. Like, you know, your body has to rebound from it. Or if it's all the issues you had before you started taking the pill. So, yeah, there's a lot of repair and reprogramming that the body needs to do after you go off that pill. And when we're talking about the pill, we're pretty much just talking about all hormonal birth control. Because there's the patch and there's the hormonal IUD. Those pretty much work off the same mechanisms. So the side effects are going to be the same regardless. Most times if you talk to your doctor, when they're prescribing the pill, they're going to say it affects two hormones. That it's estrogen and progestin. Progestin is synthetic progesterone, so it has the same role as that. The only problem is that one hormone affects another hormone, which affects another hormone, and it has like a big domino effect. So you're taking two hormones, and those two hormones are going to act on so many other hormones of the body that you're not just affecting two hormones, you're affecting damn near all of them. So like, that's one of the biggest misconceptions with the pill, is that it's only affecting estrogen and progesterone, when it's affecting a lot more than just that.
Yeah, I think I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's an ignorance in the medical community or maybe just an arrogance, maybe. I'm not sure. But there's this notion that the pill is some sort of like local effect. Like, no, the pill only affects like your sex organs and these hormones specifically. It's not going to cause depression. It won't affect your brain. It's not going to cause leaky gut. It doesn't affect your stomach, your intestines, your GI tract. But all this stuff is connected. And for whatever reason, these like specialized medicine we have now, you know, you have your neurologist, you have your cardiologist, you have your pulmonologist, but everyone is so specialized, they forget that this whole body works in one unison big machine. You know, everything affects everything.
I don't know if it's part of the educational system, because you're taught about everything separately instead of how everything interacts as a whole. Like, I feel like that should be a class on itself. It's just like how the whole body interacts with each other.
Yeah.
It's but yeah, for whatever reason, that's just kind of the way it's explained to us, and it's really misleading.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about some of the things that can go on with your sex hormones. Those are testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone. So testosterone dominance, this could be a reason that a lot of women go on the pill to begin with. Signs of that are like oily skin, acne, irregular or non-existent periods, or excess body hair. Those are just some of the signs of it. So this can be either a sign or either a reason for a woman to go on the pill, that acne, or something that she could experience when she goes off the pill. It's a pretty common side effect when a woman goes off the pill. It's not very common for a woman to experience testosterone dominance when she's actually taking the pill, because you're flooding the body with so much estrogen that it's kind of hard to be testosterone dominant. Testosterone and estrogen are a yin and yang. So like when one's high, generally the other one's low. But when you're playing with all these synthetic hormones and stuff, there's a lot of dysfunction that can go on. So I don't want to just say like it's black and white, because when you're like messing around with a body like this, almost anything can happen. So estrogen dominance is another thing, and this is likely to develop as a result of the pill, and you might still experience this a lot when you go off of it. So these are the typical signs of like, you know, a woman on the pill. So you'll experience heavy periods, weight gain, especially in your hips, thighs, and abs, or your like stomach region, severe mood swings, depression, anxiety, fatigue, and low sex drive. Well, the low sex drive is kind of like a no shit. Like if you're experiencing heavy periods, like I'm sure you're probably not feeling too good. The weight gain, mood swing. So like now you're fat, feel like crap, you're extremely moody, you're depressed, you're anxious, and you're tired. I don't know what person would want to have sex with all those when they're experiencing all those different things.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a recipe to not want to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's so like, oh yeah, low sex drive. Of course.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey, in that way, I guess the pill does work. If it prevents you from wanting to have sex, then, hey, I mean,
can't get pregnant.
Effective right there.
Right. Abstinence is, what, 100% effective? Yeah.
Yep. And then other factors that can contribute to estrogen dominance, I mean, especially with women, makeup is a big one. We talked about this in episode 38 when we just talked about all the different toxins that we are exposed to on a daily basis. So makeup, plastic containers, cookware, like personal care products like your deodorant, the shampoo you use, a lot of stuff like that. Many of them contain endocrine disruptors, and primarily they affect estrogen, and they can lead to estrogen dominance on their own. Now, if you pair that with synthetic estrogen like the pill, now you're really stacking the deck up against you, leading to that estrogen dominance. So that's one of another reasons that estrogen dominance is so prevalent.
Yeah, that's check out that episode 38. It's really interesting, just all the crap, all the synthetic shit in today's world that our body's exposed to, that it's not used to, that, you know, it's all brand new stuff our body's still trying to evolve to deal with. But it may seem kind of counterintuitive that a plastic container that your food's cooked in has estrogen in it. People are like, what? Like, that makes no sense from a kind of, I don't know, common sense standpoint. But some of these compounds in this plastic, they mimic estrogen in a sense that they're so similar structurally and chemically that they can actually bind to the estrogen receptors in our body, and our body just thinks it's estrogen. Is it technically estrogen? No, but to our body it is. And that's how it can increase estrogen in our body without it literally being estrogen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's unfortunately, that's something not a lot of people are aware of. I mean, that stuff's everywhere.
Everywhere.
Like, I mean, if you're getting food, if you're getting takeout right now, it most likely is coming in a plastic container, coming with plastic foodware, or plastic silverware. You're putting on deodorant. I mean, maybe people aren't putting on deodorant now every day, but I mean, that's generally a thing.
Yeah.
When you're showering, you're putting all these other, like, estrogens on your skin absorbs that stuff. So yeah, it's kind of all over the place. So yeah, that's a really good podcast. And then EWG.org/skindeep is a great resource. Every time we're buying something new, that's what we compare it to. They give you like a letter grade, or it's either a letter grade or a 1 through 10 score about how clean the product is. So that's a great resource if you're trying to clean up around your house. All right, so we talked about the sex hormones a little bit. Let's just kind of get into the gut. We just did a big podcast about this with autoimmune disease on episode 80. So one, I don't know how we missed this stat, but I mean, it's a crazy number. Women are 10 times more likely to have an autoimmune disease than men. And the pill is one of the biggest reasons why.
That's huge.
10 times more likely. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what the pill does. It damages the intestinal lining, leading to gut hyperpermeability or leaky gut. We've talked about that a lot. I think we talked about that a lot in the donut podcast. And we've talked about how glyphosate just destroys your zonulin proteins. Pill is another one that does the same thing. And then the other thing that it does is it dramatically shifts our gut microbiome, leading to deficiencies. So our gut microbiome is just a bunch of bacteria that live in our large intestine. And what they do is some of the food that we eat makes it through the small intestine, makes it to our large intestine. Then the bacteria eat that food, and then they start producing different things, stuff like short-chain fatty acids. There's a few other things that are going to come up later on. Stuff like serotonin is another one that gets produced there. So yeah, like you want your gut microbiome, you want that to be healthy, but the pill, it dramatically shifts it into like an unnatural level. So it's going to affect everybody a little bit differently. So you might have a lot of deficiencies start popping up because of this. So you might not be able to produce things like serotonin or convert T4 to T3. There'll be more about the T4 to T3 later on. It's two really damaging things. So like now you're going to start being deficient in a lot of nutrients, and you're going to have gut hyperpermeability or autoimmune disease as a result of that. Very, very bad things.
Very bad things, yeah, 100%. You've heard of like Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis. Those are autoimmune diseases of the gut. And to talk about leaky gut real quick, it's kind of counterintuitive, I guess, but the food we eat goes to our GI tract, right, from our mouth all the way to the back end, you know? That's technically still outside of our body. Our gut is supposed to pick and choose what it wants to absorb. So the amino acids, the carbohydrates, the fats, the vitamins and minerals, all the micronutrients, the body chooses what's it going to absorb. When we have leaky gut, our body loses that choice. And things that it doesn't want to absorb, like whole food particles and other toxins and viruses, bacteria, all this type of crap in the food, gets into our bloodstream that it was never supposed to be there. And that's when autoimmune issues arise. And that's when just a lot of, you just feel like shit. You know, it's not fun to have a leaky gut. You're not supposed to. It's supposed to be bulletproof. There's these things called tight gap junctions that are cells that are very close together that things aren't supposed to get through. But when you take the pill, it affects these things and causes those tight gap junctions to loosen up. And now food particles get past that were never supposed to be in our blood supply. So that's a huge problem. And trust me, once you get an autoimmune disease, you're going to be like, fuck, I wish I never took the pill. You know what I mean? That's when you really understand how important keeping our gut health up to date or up to point really is.
Yeah, that's a great point. So now we just talked about how it affects your sex hormones, which has a lot of different side effects. We just talked about how it affects the gut and then how it can lead to autoimmune disease. And autoimmune diseases affect damn near every organ system on the body. So now, like,
Yeah, it could be head to toe. Subjects. It could be anything. Yeah, it could be anything.
Yeah, we just talked about two subjects, and now it's already talking about how it affects damn near the entire body, not just your estrogen and your progesterone.
Yeah.
So the next one, the liver. So there's a lot of really interesting research with the liver and the pill right now. It's not all conclusive yet, so I didn't really pull any stats, but it appears that women on the pill are experiencing a lot more tumors on their liver. Most studies make them look like they're okay, they're benign tumors, but it's still like a red flag and that they rarely turn malignant. And there's also, I forgot the name of it, but there's a certain tumor that we haven't seen in humans until the pill was introduced.
Oh, really?
So it's like a new type of tumor, and we're not sure how dangerous that tumor is at the moment. Mm. It seems like it's benign, but I don't know.
Yeah, because so, just to make a distinction, yeah, like a tumor isn't necessarily cancerous. A tumor is just a growth, but it's not like you want a million tumors around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good distinction.
Yeah.
It could be, and I mean, it's definitely not. I don't know any beneficial
good tumors.
Yeah, I don't know any benefits that come from tumor growth. But yeah, if it's negative, it's extremely negative.
Yeah.
So I mean, that alone right there was kind of like enough to be a red flag on the liver. But it does more than just that. So your liver plays like a very important role in hormone regulation. It produces certain hormones. It converts some hormones like from T4 to T3. It does some of that. It also prepares your hormones for elimination. So, for example, like on the pill, like you have a ton of estrogen, like your body's producing its own estrogen, and now you're consuming estrogen. So one thing your liver is responsible for doing is packaging that estrogen up and preparing it to eliminate. Well, what happens if your liver is compromised because you have some tumor growth on there, or that the workload is just so much that your liver can't keep up with it? Like you just have so much extra estrogen that you can't eliminate it all. Well, that's when you start getting estrogen dominance, and now you start doing a lot of more damage to your liver. So yeah, the liver plays such an important role that, I mean, like that's one thing you definitely don't want to damage. And then what happens if you're drinking more because, like we talked about earlier, you're depressed, you're gaining weight, all these other things. Now you're drinking on top of that, man, you are destroying your liver.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a vicious cycle.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we only have one liver. If you damage it too much, not a whole lot we can do for you.
Yeah,
so,
and I know...
you want to be taking care of your liver, especially like in your teenage years, doing everything you can for it.
Yeah, for sure. Like, if you want to see how important your liver is, go hang out with somebody with liver cancer and see how happy their life is. It sucks. You know what I mean? I know my dad died of liver cancer. I know what it's like to see someone deteriorate when their liver goes to shit. You know what I mean? It's not an organ you want to mess around with.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, luckily, like, your liver can repair itself at a very good rate. I mean, it's one of the faster organs to repair itself, but you just can't let it get to that part of no return.
Yep.
So the thyroid, this is one of the biggest ones, biggest organs that it affects, and this is probably what's responsible for most of the weight gain. It's kind of hard to tell, since there's so many different organ systems that get affected. So hypothyroid, that's when your thyroid isn't working effectively. It's slow instead of fast. So a lot of signs of hypothyroid are pretty much the signs of like low energy production in general. So things like fatigue, you can get a great night's sleep, you know, sleep 8 to 10 hours, but you wake up and you're still tired. You can't really shake that tired feeling. You're feeling cold even in warm environments. So I don't know if you've experienced this where like you're with your spouse and you're sitting there sweating, but she's freezing cold and asking you to turn the heater on. Something like that would be like a sign of hypothyroid.
Oh yeah, all the time. And that's so common with women. It's so common.
Mm-hmm. Irregular periods. This is usually when it's like longer than the 32 days between cycles, or it could even be like non-existent periods, like you're not even getting them at all. So yeah, there's a lot of just signs of just like low energy production in general. And then what also can happen, and we talked about this earlier with autoimmune, is that damaged gut lining leads to an increased risk of Hashimoto's disease, which is just a damaged thyroid. Your body's attacking its own thyroid and destroying it. So yeah, that's also more likely to occur for women on the pill. And then some of those other gut deficiencies that are popping up, the insufficient gut microbiome and the damage caused by the liver, now you're not able to convert T4 into T3. So basically, T4 is produced by the thyroid, and T4's function is to pretty much be spread throughout the body and then converted into T3. And then cells can use T3. They can't use T4. So T4 by itself is pretty worthless when it comes to like that tissue and cellular level, because your tissues can't do anything with it. But it's a signal. So once T4 gets converted to T3, cells recognize it and then respond appropriately. But you can't get T3 unless you have enough T4. I don't know. Did that make sense?
The thyroid's pretty complicated. It just is. And to break down T4 and T3 a little bit, I can come from a bodybuilding perspective, because these are actually drugs used by bodybuilders to lose weight. So if your body isn't producing enough T3 or even T4 in the sense, like Tom was saying earlier, say someone is hypothyroidism, meaning like slow thyroid, your body, the metabolism is going to be very low, because your body needs T3 to kind of just kickstart your metabolism to keep everything burning at a proper rate. So for a bodybuilder, if they want to lose a bunch of weight prior to a show, right, get really shredded, really in shape, they'll take exogenous T3, and it'll literally increase the amount of calories their body burns throughout the day. It'll make them sweat all the time. It'll give them energy all the time. So the more T3 we have, the good thing, to a point, of course, you know, you can take way too much and you can sacrifice muscle and feel like shit, but T4 and T3 are good things. We want them elevated, or at least an adequate amount, so our body burns a proper amount of calories and we feel good. Our body can actually produce body heat. It can actually expend some calories to keep us warm. And we see that all the time with women who are walking around with blankets all the time, even though it's, you know, 85 degrees in the house. You know what I mean? They're just not producing enough thyroid hormone.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know that was a major supplement in the bodybuilding world. I mean, it totally makes sense.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't really go that route of just taking T3. But it totally makes sense in the short term to get those desired effects. I mean, it's definitely not the healthiest thing to do.
Yeah, but nothing in bodybuilding is.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. So you need that T4, you need that T3. It affects this kind of a bunch of different processes through there. So the pill is like very damaging to your thyroid. I think that's one of the main reasons why Hashimoto's is one of like the main autoimmune diseases out there. And we just talked about how women are 10 times more likely to have an autoimmune disease. Bam, like that, there it is right there in a nutshell. Just like it is, the pill is just killer for your thyroid.
Yep.
So like the next one we're going to get into is just kind of depression, anxiety, and unfortunately suicide goes along with it, with this. So women on birth control are over twice as likely to suffer from depression, anxiety, and suicidal thoughts. Some are even three times likely if they're in their teenage years. That if you're a teenager taking that your first year, those are three times likely, not twice as likely. I guess your body gets more used to it after a year. Not really sure why those rates go down, or maybe that just becomes your new normal. I don't know. But lack of serotonin is pretty much like the biggest the biggest component to this. So serotonin is a feel-good hormone. That's what happens when you go outside in the sun, your body starts producing serotonin. So if you're not able to produce enough serotonin, either result from your gut microbiome just being inadequate to produce enough, you're going to experience things like depression and anxiety. Or you just might not have a good diet to begin with. So that's another thing. And if you're going to your doctor talking about this, instead of telling you to address the fact and start eating more tryptophan, which is an amino acid found in meat, or, you know, going out in the sun, you're probably going
to... Which your body converts to serotonin, right?
Yeah, which your body wants. Like, you're probably just going to get another pill if you go back to the doctor. So, like, they're not really addressing the root cause. They're addressing the symptom, which is never a good idea. So yeah, you need that serotonin production. And then another thing that goes in with anxiety is cortisol overproduction. So cortisol and progesterone, follow similar production pathways. Since you're taking all this synthetic progesterone, progestin is what's in the pill, now your body doesn't need to produce as much progesterone. So it has all these building parts, it has all this machinery built around to create all this progesterone. Instead, all that production gets shifted towards cortisol. So now you start producing way too much cortisol, and now you have anxiety. Cortisol is a stress hormone. It increases energy. So if you increase a bunch of energy, but and you don't feel good at the same time, like that's anxiety right there. Like you don't have that serotonin to help you feel good. You're just feeling like shit with a bunch of energy. That's anxiety right there.
Yeah, like it's fine to have a cortisol spike or high cortisol before a run or before an intense workout or before some MMA fight. But if you're sitting in traffic, if you're laying in bed, if you're watching a movie and your cortisol's through the roof, your body doesn't know what to do with all this extra energy because cortisol is a kind of a catabolic hormone. So it breaks down fatty acids. It breaks down glycogen for glucose. It gives your body all this fuel. And your body, you're not running, you're not doing anything. So your body gets anxiety from those things. And we talked about cortisol a lot and visceral fat in some podcasts in the past. Do you remember what it was?
I don't remember specifically which one it is, but yeah,
cortisol. Oh, no, it was just stress. We literally talked about stress, one of them.
Okay.
Yeah, one of our podcasts on stress. I forget which one, maybe 10, 20 ago. But like cortisol really is a killer. Like stress, which it goes hand in hand with cortisol production, really is a killer. It affects our body so much. And it seems like it's kind of an invisible killer because, you know, you can't like measure stress. It's not like you can take a strip and pee on it and say, oh, I'm stressed 10 out of 10 today. You know, you kind of just have to gauge how you feel. But stress and the cortisol production associated with that really affects our body in a ton of different ways.
Yeah. And one of the biggest ways that it shows is like if you have too much cortisol, it's usually belly fat.
Yep.
So especially paired with like all that estrogen at the same time, like, yeah, it's a quick way to bulk up in a hurry.
Yeah. If you go like walk towards a wall and your stomach hits before your head, you probably have a little too much cortisol coming through your blood, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely a sign of some sort of insulin resistance. And yeah, cortisol and estrogen are two main factors with that.
Yep.
So let's see. So we talked about depression. So we talked about how it destroys your mental health. And if you're depressed or anxious all the time, I'm pretty sure that's going to kill your sex drive as well. Kind of going back to one of the other main side effects of the pill. We talked about how it destroys your thyroid. It makes it so you can't even produce enough thyroid, and it might even make your body attack its own thyroid. We talk about how just it overworks your liver. We talked about how bad it is for your gut, how it destroys your gut lining, leading to either nutrient deficiencies or autoimmune diseases. And just talked about how like all the synthetic hormones are just horrible for you. So like there's a lot of really bad side effects that go along with the drug, with the pill.
Yeah, I think we're being very negative towards the pill. And obviously that's our opinion about it, right? Like having some blanket hormone suppression through, you know, exogenous hormone ingestion is honestly not the smartest thing to do if you understand how that body works from a hormonal standpoint. But the huge benefit of the pill is it stops you from having children. And obviously us being males and just the way society is, you know, if we do get someone pregnant, we can leave, as shitty as that is. You know what I'm saying? And but the woman has to obviously give birth and raise a child, you know, if it wants to and all that type of stuff, knows other options. But it's easy for us to say, don't get on the pill, right? But there are other options out there that are just safer and more natural, you know?
Yeah, so let's kind of get into that. Actually, so one thing with the pill is it's somewhere between 95 and like 100% effective. I mean, nothing's 100% effective, but it's like 95% plus if you're using it correctly. And by using it correctly is you take the pill every day, you take the pill at the same time every day, and you're not consuming it with like things like alcohol either that might damage its ability to be absorbed. So like you have to be doing the same thing every day. But what happens if you're not taking it the way you're supposed to? Like, let's say one day you take it first thing in the morning, and then the next day you forget to take it in the morning, and then by the time you remember, you're out at out with friends at a bar, so you just take it out with alcohol, pretty much like 40 hours, or like, or not 40, but, you know, over 24 hours, you're talking about like 36 hours later in between pills, and then you wake up the next day and you take it again first thing in the morning, so now there's only 12 hours in between that. Like, if you're not taking it consistently, then its effectiveness can drop down to as low as like 85 to like 88%.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that has to be with like how good you are at using it. And that's true for pretty much every form of birth control. If you're using it correctly, it's about 95 to 100% effective. If you are using it incorrectly, it's going to start dropping in the 80s, 70s, depending on how like inefficient you are using it. So that's one, like, one of the major misconceptions with birth control, is that how effective they are really depends on the user.
That's a key point, because, I mean, I'm pretty regimented, you're pretty regimented, but for the vast majority of people out there, they don't do the same thing at the same time every day. That's like a huge ask.
Yeah, and, you know, if you go to, like, you know, your doctor and you, like, look at a chart, as you're going to see it as 95% effective or 99% effective, somewhere along those lines. So you have this like false sense of security along with that. So you don't have that in your head like, oh, hey, I need to take this every single day for it to be that effective. But you don't really have that consistency kind of like drilled in like you should.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same thing with, like, you know, condom usage. If you, like, use a condom incorrectly, or if you use one that's, like, expired, you don't put it on right, the effectiveness goes from, like, you know, the 90s down to the 80s and 70%, just like everything else. Like, it's true pretty much for all forms of birth control.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to talk about some of the ones that are not hormonal that might be a better option. If you are one of those people that just... you know you're not going to be consistent. You have so much going on in your life that trying to do something every single day is just going to add too much stress to your life, and you know you're not going to be consistent with it. Then the IUD is one of the better options. It's a physical barrier that prevents sperm from even reaching the egg. Again, it's like really effective. It's in the high 90%. And there's two types. There's the copper IUD or the hormonal one, which uses progestin. Again, if you take the progestin one, you're looking at all the side effects that we just discussed. Anything that messes with your hormones are going to affect all those different parts of your body. So I would advise against the hormonal one. The other one is going to be the copper IUD. And if you are thinking about taking the copper IUD, since you are putting a foreign metal in your body, you should be monitoring your copper levels throughout. So you should take, you should get your blood copper levels measured before you started it, once you start it, and then, you know, every few months or so while you're on it, just to make sure, like, you're not having, like, excessive copper levels as a result of this.
Yeah, because heavy metal poisoning is a thing. We talked about that in, like, the toxins all around us. We're not supposed to have a bunch of heavy metals in our body, like aluminum, magnesium, you know, all that type of shit, like lead, you know, that's not supposed to be in us. So you got to make sure you keep those levels in check, because that can cause a bunch of problems.
Yeah, and they also can interact with each other. I mean, the metals are a lot like hormones. When one's high, usually another one's going to be low, or you might start like eliminating some to keep those in balance. Like, our body wants everything to be in balance. So if you have too much copper, then you might start taking on too much. I think it's zinc is a. I honestly can't remember. I think zinc and copper kind of pair together.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that.
I don't know.
But yeah, you just want to make sure like all your mineral levels are correct if you're going to be on taking something like this. So the other form of birth control, this I think every woman should be doing it, even if they're going to be using other forms of birth control. It's the fertility awareness method, also known as FAM. Other names of it are natural family planning or the rhythm method. And this is where you track your menstrual cycle to know when you are ovulating. And then, like, the week leading up to ovulation, you either just avoid sex altogether or you use another form of birth control, something like condoms, a diaphragm, something like that. But in order for you to do this, you have to have, you have to have a regular period, meaning that you're always getting it somewhere between that 26 to 32 days. If you're getting it every 21 days or fewer, this is probably not going to be a good method for you. Or if you're getting it like every 36 days, or maybe you get it 36 days, then you get it 45 days later, then you get another one 40 days later. If your periods aren't consistent, this method isn't going to be very effective because you won't know when you're ovulating or not. But it's a really good thing to track because it gives you a really good insight into your health. If you are one of those women that has like a period 28 days, and then the next month it's 35 days later, and then the next month it's like 26 days later, like all that variance, like there's something going on with your health and like you need a closer look. I mean, what could be affecting that? Could be damn near anything, but it's just something to kind of just give you like a red flag. It's just like another form of like a different like smoke detector going off in your body that, like, hey, something's going on here. I need to address this.
Yeah, that's a good point, because a lot of people don't, we always talk about listening to our body and being in tune with our body, but the world is just so loud and we're all so damn busy. Like, a lot of us don't really understand. We think these aches and pains are normal. We think these like sniffles and coughs are normal, but you know, we need these measurements to really check what's going on with our body. And if we do that, and like Tom said, the numbers come back out of whack, just take a deeper dive, you know, get some blood work done, go to the doctor, see what's going on, because most likely there's some sort of imbalance that you can get it fixed. You just have to take the steps to do that.
Yeah. And if you're not monitoring it, it's not going to get fixed. Yep. I mean, that's just kind of the truth of it. So yeah, that's a very effective one. I don't really want to get into all the details of exactly how to use it, but look up the fertility awareness method if that's something you're interested in.
Yeah,
I mean, that's pretty much what humans have been using for like 99.9% of our existence. It's pretty effective if you're using it correctly. So yeah, I mean, and you compare it with other things like condoms or diaphragm, something along those lines. So yeah, it can be very effective if you use it correctly, just like any other form of birth control. So do you have anything else you want to talk about before we just kind of go on ways to help you deal with the side effects, things you should be either eating while you're recovering or while you're on the birth control pill?
No, I think that was pretty good. Just going over the gist of it, man. Like, the pill comes with a price. A lot of people, it's so overly prescribed and it's so easy to get that people think it's kind of like a sugar pill. You know what I mean? Though I take it, I don't get pregnant, that's it. But it comes with a price. And trust me, I understand having kids when you don't want kids is a huge problem. You know, and that's life-changing forever. I totally get that. So I understand you have to weigh the pros and cons a little bit. But just educate yourself on the price you're paying when you take that pill every day. And if, you know, if it's worth it for you, go ahead. You know, do your thing. I understand, you know. But there are other methods out there, and I just think it'd be smart to just look into them and see if that can work for you. That's all.
Yeah, that's great advice. All right. So now that you've done all this damage to your body, or maybe you're going to take the pill, but you want to do things to help your body out. So this is what you should be consuming from like a dietary perspective. So one of the biggest things, this should be part of your like daily diet, is eggs. Eggs are a great source of cholesterol. I know cholesterol sounds scary. We've gone over how cholesterol has been unfairly demonized and damn near every podcast so far. So if you want, you can go back and like listen to that. But sex hormones are all cholesterol-based. So your testosterone, your estrogen, your progesterone. So for our bodies to make sex hormones, we need a good amount of cholesterol. So consuming cholesterol is a great way for your body to balance them out. So if you are estrogen dominant, that means you need to start making more testosterone. So you're going to need cholesterol in order to do so. So consuming a lot of eggs, and if you get too much, your body will just get rid of it and it'll produce less cholesterol. So you're not going to overdose on cholesterol by eating eggs. Like, that's not something to worry about. But you want your body to have enough materials to make either that testosterone or that estrogen, progesterone, whatever it is. You want to have those materials on hand. So eggs is such a great source for that. The next thing is like zinc. Zinc is another building block for testosterone. So some great sources of zinc is going to be something like seafood or red meat is another great source, especially liver. Liver is one of the most, it's probably the best source for zinc that I'm aware of. So yeah, seafood, red meat, liver, all great options. Seafood is also very beneficial because it's a great natural source of iodine. And if you're hypothyroid, you're most likely going to be deficient in iodine. So seafood is a great option just to kind of take care of that zinc and that iodine right there.
Yeah, the iodine's used to build T3 and T4. That's why you need iodine.
Yeah, and another thing that you should avoid if you are having issues with the thyroid would be stuff like cruciferous vegetables, stuff like cauliflower and broccoli, because those interfere with the thyroid. Yeah. So if you are having thyroid issues, avoid those.
Mm-hmm.
Another great option is just liver in general. I talked about how liver is high in zinc, but it's also high in a bunch of other nutrients specific for the liver, and like digestive enzymes and enzymes needed by the liver. So eating liver for liver, great thing to do. Also, you can eat thyroid for your thyroid. So one interesting thing about thyroid is if you're eating desiccated thyroid, you're actually consuming T3 and T4. Kind of like how Tyson mentioned earlier, how bodybuilders are taking T3 supplements. The most likely source of it, if it's true T3, is coming from a natural desiccated thyroid. So you can take that. And if you're trying to take just one pill, you don't have to take a bunch of pills every day. Ancestral Supplements sells a liver and thyroid supplement. It contains natural desiccated thyroid and natural desiccated liver. So that's a great source. You know, you're just taking one pill and you're addressing two organs that are most likely going to be damaged. So that's a great, like, little one pill solution for that. And it's not enough just to start taking stuff to start supporting your liver and supporting your thyroid. One thing you really got to do is you really got to start taking like better care of yourself and, you know, clean up your personal care products. So ewg.org/skindeep. So buy cleaner deodorant, buy cleaner shampoo, buy cleaner makeup. You know, if you're going to be putting on makeup every single day and wearing it all day long, you want to make sure that you're not overloading your body with a bunch of toxins that are going to be, you know, putting even more stress, even more damage on your liver. You want to make sure you're taking care of these vital organs. So cleaner personal care products is a must. And even if you're doing all these things, if you're not getting adequate sleep, I mean, you're pretty much just wasting your time. Like, you might be giving your body the materials it needs and the signals it needs to be making all these repairs, but if you're not giving your body the time it needs to make those repairs, that's where sleep comes in. Your body can't do anything with it. So you need to make sure you're getting adequate sleep. 8 hours. 8 hours is like the go-to if you're healthy. If you're either like an athlete or you're sick and you have a lot more repair to do, then you need more than 8 hours sleep. You should be focusing on like 9 to 10 hours if you can. So yeah, sleep is a must. I mean, not a lot enough people talk about that. I know I feel like I bring up sleep in almost every single podcast, but it's that important.
It really is. Yeah. It's not talked about enough. And just society today talked about, you know, grinding, and I'm at fault doing this myself, you know, working too much and, sacrificing sleep, but sleep is very important. And if you don't get enough of it, it will catch up to you. And like Tom said, if you don't get enough sleep, your body really can't do anything as far as growing and recovering. So it's super important.
Yeah, like you can have the best factory in the world. Like you have all the best machinery. You have the best employees. You have the best materials. But if you're only allowing that factory to operate like 1 hour out of the day, you're not going to be very productive. You're not going to be producing that much. So you need those hours open. You need those hours of operation to be at a maximum to really maximize like what you're able to do with your body, all that healing. So you need all that sleep.
Yeah.
And then just daylight, just like natural sun exposure is a great way to balance that serotonin and cortisol, get your body to produce more serotonin, get your body to produce cortisol in its natural environment early on in the day, so it's lower at night. Cortisol is going to have its spikes and valleys all throughout the day, but you want those spikes to be high during the daytime and low at night. So yeah, just, you know, making sure your cortisol levels are normal, your serotonin is normal. And then that serotonin is going to have a downstream effect. That serotonin is going to turn into melatonin and stuff like that, which is, you know, more vital for sleep. But just daylight sun exposure helps out in a lot of different ways.
Yep, it does. Yeah, don't be afraid of the sun. The sun got a bad rap, just like cholesterol got a bad rap. So we have a podcast on that too, a podcast on sunscreen. So you can check that out and why you shouldn't be scared of the sun. It's a whole bunch of misinformation out there. But yeah, I think that's everything we wanted to cover as far as the pill goes. You know, it comes with a price. Educate yourself. Listen to those recommendations with the cholesterol and the zinc and the taking the thyroid supplements. There are ways you can get off the pill and make that transition as smooth as possible. And yeah, hopefully you guys learned something. Anything else you wanted to add, or you think that was good?
I think that was good. I mean, I feel like we could talk about this. There's like so many more things to kind of go into. Hopefully it made this kind of short enough and concise enough. So if you are experiencing any of these symptoms, you can take like a deeper dive. I mean, we have podcasts on most of this stuff already. So this is just kind of like a little summary of everything.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, that's another podcast in the books. Thank you for listening. You can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate and subscribe if you haven't already done so. It really helps us out. It helps new people come and find us, and just lets us know like how we're doing in general. So if there's things you want us to talk about or stop talking about, you can let us know in the reviews. You can find us pretty much anywhere podcasts are found: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week. I'm about to go enjoy some sun and take off on my paddleboards with my dogs.
There you go. Boom.